There's a city named after the mother of Jesus Christ, and news about this city has been broadcast all over the world. That city is called Mariupol, and it's in Ukraine, which has been invaded, of course, by Russia in the last few months. We're going to talk about religious freedom and Russia's invasion of Ukraine during this segment of Vocal Point. I'm Jerry Newcomb, and our guest is the FRC, that is the Family Research Council's Assistant Director of the Center for Religious Liberty, Ariel Del Turco. And she's written a few pieces addressing the issue of the war and specifically how religious liberty in Ukraine is at risk the more that Russia succeeds in its invasion. Ariel, it's great to have you on the program. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's good to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Sure. Okay, go ahead and tell us first about the actual Center for Religious Liberty. I have not really heard much about that from the Family Research Council. Perhaps it's something new, and thankfully we've learned a lot about FRC through the years, and then we'll focus in on Ukraine. But first, FRC Center, if you will.
Sure. So the Center for Religious Liberty focuses on both domestic in the United States religious liberty, but also religious freedom abroad. So we look at these hot spots where we have major issues for religious freedom and where there's religious persecution, especially against Christians, but also against all people. So we do a lot of research, writing, and public speaking on these topics. So if your listeners are interested, I would encourage you to check us all out on FRC.org.
Okay, now, after the Soviet Union imploded and Ukraine allowed missionaries to come in, there was a lot of Christian missionary work among evangelicals and so forth in Ukraine, and I think it made a difference, didn't it, in terms of the people of Ukraine?
Yeah, absolutely. After the fall of the Soviet Union, Ukraine emerged as one of the countries that embraced religious freedom the most. Actually, out of former Soviet states, they're widely recognized as having the best religious freedom conditions. I mean, the fall of the Soviet Union wasn't really that long ago, so it's taken a while for some of these countries to emerge from the grip of communism. But Ukraine did very well. In contrast with Russia today, I mean, Russia, the United States government, still recognizes it as one of the countries of particular concern. It's an official designation by the U.S. government given to just a handful of countries, and it recognizes Russia as one of the worst countries in the world for religious freedom. So we see a tightening of restrictions on especially these Christian religious minorities, including evangelicals, restrictions on their ability to practice their faith and to share their faith, and we really don't see that in Ukraine. So looking at this conflict from that angle, it's very interesting, and there's really a stark contrast.
Would you say that the courage that we've seen among the many of the Ukrainians, including Zelensky, who's kind of a surprising leader out of the whole thing, he's a former comedian, I guess, and yet he's like a comedian, he's a comedian turned Churchill or whatever. But anyway, is there a link between their courage and their faith?
Well, it's very interesting. President Putin in Russia, he paints himself as this very masculine, heroic figure. But if you look at really what's happening on the ground, I think Ukraine really displays who is heroic and who's not. Is President Putin and the Russian attackers, are they heroic for bombing civilians and attacking innocent people? Or is it the Ukrainians and Zelensky who, I mean, Zelensky could have fled the country. The United States government offered him the chance to leave, but instead he stayed at his own risk, knowing that he could be killed and that likely the Russians would be after him. He stayed. He's being sacrificial of his own safety. And Ukrainian men are staying. They're staying behind while many of the women and children flee to protect their homeland and their families. So there is a stark contrast in what President Putin might paint as heroic and what is heroic. And that may or may not have something to do with their faith. I mean, Zelensky is Jewish, but it certainly displays a lot of their character.
Now, let me ask you this. It's my understanding that if you're a Ukrainian and you're, let's say, affiliated with the Russian Orthodox Church, then Putin has no beef with you. But if you're not affiliated with that church, Putin does have a beef with you. Is that fair?
That is fair. We saw, especially in Ukraine, there was a break from the Orthodox believers who wanted to break away from the Russian Orthodox Church, recognizing it as politically corrupt and being too close with the Russian government, which is historically a problem all throughout history when religion gets too close to government. But for the Ukrainian Orthodox believers, they really encounter a lot of problems in Russia and in the areas of Ukraine that Russia controls. So for Orthodox believers who don't affiliate with the Russian Orthodox Church, but also for evangelicals and Catholics and other religious minorities in Ukraine, they are looking at a very difficult situation if Russia takes any part of Ukraine. And we've already seen this in Crimea, in the Donbas regions, in these other regions that of Ukraine that Russia controls. So there is a real threat to religious freedom here, and I think a lot of people aren't quite seeing it.
And is it possible that maybe Putin bit off more than he could chew here? I mean, it seems like things are not going as well for the Russians, thankfully, as they really could be. You know, I think they probably assume, we'll just, get Ukraine, just annex it really quickly and this thing will be over in a month or two or something like that. But they've been stalled, it would seem. Maybe prayers are being answered.
You're absolutely right. I mean, Russia was hoping to take over the entire country of Ukraine within 2 to 3 days, and now it's been 3 months. And we're seeing even that their goals are diminishing, where their goal might have been to take over the entire country and establish a little puppet government there. Their goal now is really to only solidify their controls over the area that they really already controlled. So this is really about to be what I believe is an embarrassing loss for Russia. And I think it's really to be credited to both President Zelensky in Ukraine, but also to the Ukrainian people who really rose up and rallied around this cause of protecting their country, of protecting the human rights and freedom and democracy that they had there, of not wanting to be controlled by Russia. They really have a lot to be commended for. It's very impressive.
Now, one thing that was kind of weird and disturbing, I saw this video of Mr. Putin participating in an Easter worship service in his own, Russian Orthodox, and he's making the sign of the cross and so forth. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, this is a dictator, a wannabe czar. What is he, why is he claiming that the church and Jesus Christ is for him? That doesn't jive, but what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think this is something that American Christians can really be confused by. We're seeing a world leader who expresses openly that he's Christian and makes that a part of his identity. But really what we're seeing is that for him, it's mostly political. It's not so much that these elements of his faith are sincere. I mean, I would hope that they are, but his actions, especially even just attacking innocent civilians, would prove otherwise. But he's really using and almost abusing the Christian faith and the Russian Orthodox Church to build up a stronger unique Russian identity and solidify his own power. He's really using it to reinforce his own power over Russia, and it's really sad to see Christianity being used this way.
One thing that's interesting about Ukraine is prior to this invasion and so forth, people working in Ukraine to bring the Bible, the Word of God, to Ukrainian people, they were reporting a lot of success in getting these copies of the scriptures out. And in fact, the school districts where they were allowing the Bible to be part of the curriculum, they were excelling versus other provinces, I forget the term that they use within Ukraine, but other provinces within Ukraine that didn't have the Bible as part of the education. The Bible in Ukraine, that's an interesting aspect of this story.
Yeah, and I've seen firsthand the power of Russian Christian or Ukrainian Christians, even as they are forced to leave their country and enter Poland and enter other parts of Europe. Often, if there's not a church in the town they go to or a church of the denomination that they're used to, they'll start them across Europe. And when I was in Poland not too long ago, about a month or so ago, I visited multiple Polish churches who were taking in Ukrainian refugees, and many of them were being baptized, and there's clearly a move of God among the people of Ukraine. And as they go into other parts of Europe, they're bringing that with them.
And comment on the refugees. I mean, it must be perhaps millions now.
Yeah, absolutely. There's over 3 million that have fled. Most of them are women and children. And it's so great to see Poland and some of these other countries that have taken in the bulk of the refugees. They've done such a fantastic job. So when I visited Poland, I went to the train stations and I saw a lot of refugees, many children and women. But in addition to refugees, I saw a lot of volunteers directing people, helping people, medical tents, tents with food, directing people. It's really impressive to see how some of these countries have stepped up to help Ukrainians. It's really an impressive act of solidarity.
Now, I understand you advocate praying for Ukraine, so can you go ahead and elaborate on that? How should we pray for Ukraine?
Sure. There are many ways. I think first is just praying for the people of Ukraine, thinking about what they need, praying for their safety, that residential areas wouldn't be targeted, praying that God would comfort those who are afraid, that God would give people direction. I mean, many of these people are facing an unknown future and don't quite know what to do. Those are all things we can be praying for. But we can also pray for our world leaders who all have the responsibility to respond to Russia's invasion, both in helping Ukraine push them back, but also to support the refugees that are fleeing. And we can also pray for the churches and the Christians of Ukraine, as you mentioned, that they would stay strong in their faith and that God would ultimately use what's happening for good.
And how did you get interested in this? It sounds like, I mean, the fact that you even went to Poland, did you go to Poland specifically because of the crisis in Ukraine?
I went to Poland for a religious freedom conference, but it was quite an interesting time to be there, and so I made the most of it and spoke with pastors and churches and met with refugees, and it was a very encouraging experience overall. Some of the Ukrainians I spoke to, and obviously all of the Ukrainians I spoke to, it was very difficult for them talking about how they were forced to leave, they didn't really expect to have to leave, how they're communicating with family members back home, and they don't always know if it's okay. Sometimes communication is cut off, and they really just have to trust God that their family members are okay. But the strength of faith of these people was really impressive. One thing that struck me was that many of the Christian Ukrainians I spoke to kept saying that God had been faithful to Ukraine in the past, and so they were trusting him to be faithful again.
That's fantastic. Okay, so if somebody goes onto the website frc.org, how would they find your particular page or section within it, frc.org? We have 20 seconds left.
So if you go to frc.org/IRF, you'll be able to find a lot of resources on international religious freedom and get acquainted with some of our work.
FRC.org. Thank you so much, Ariel Del Turco from Family Research Council. All the best. Thanks again.
Thank you for having me.